Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ben.
And you're listening to
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a clue.
Boop, boop, a doo. This podcast is part of the Fandom Limb Media Podcast Network. So for other pop culture podcasts, go to fandomlimb.com.
Here at What's New, Nancy Drew, Sarah and I recap the latest episodes of the CW's Nancy Drew. Today, we are starting season four. This is episode one, The Dilemma of the Lover's Curse.
Oh boy. So good. I think I literally only have one complaint about this premiere.
Oh, is it that Agent Park wasn't in it? Because that's my complaint.
I have two complaints. No, Agent Park wouldn't fit here. He should come in later.
It's true. Previously on Nancy Drew, it covers the Ace Curse from Temperance last season. It shows that Nancy has a detective agency, and it gets into the cemetery call leading to the empty graves. I really like watching previouslys for shows like this to kind of get an idea of what we're going to be focused on.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was interesting that it was really like Ace and Nancy and also the graves. There was no previously with George and Nick. There was no anything with Bess and Addie or even the dads. So I thought it was really selective. I was like, okay, so this season is clearly going to be Nace.
Yes, and I think had it not been, there would have been riots. So that's interesting because my husband hates the previously ons because it, like, he thinks it gives away what's going to be in the episode. I think it's different for a season like previously on because it's been so long usually since you've seen the past season. Especially it's been over a year for Nancy. And so we start the episode and Nancy is in the graveyard and there are eight empty graves.
Take a sip of apple juice every time they say eight bodies or eight graves. It was a lot. They did not want you to forget how many bodies.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot there.
How'd you feel about that first jump scare, Sarah?
I mean, wasn't my favorite.
It got me a little bit. It was the only one this episode that got me.
Yeah.
It's Nancy looking in the grave and then she looks away. So, and then she looks back. So, you know, it's coming, but it was done well, I thought.
So she ends up in the grave and we find out that this is a dream that she's having. In her, with the Wraith, in her like dream space, she ended up in a grave in there too. And it was like Nick that had to help her out. I'm trying to think if there were any other times that she ended up in the grave. Like if that's symbolism and all that.
Yeah, there could be lots of, I mean, there's lots of symbolism to graves. Like she got pulled down. So like this could be weighing on the back of her mind and like literally pulling her down or weighing her down from getting other things accomplished. Like it's always back there and you can't escape it. And she's over her head kind of thing. So there's all that.
And, like, Nancy tends to always blame herself for everything. I'm sure she has survivor's guilt with both her moms, like, stuff like that, too.
Yeah, so she wakes up, and it's been 5 weeks since the end of the last season. This has been weighing on her for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm. So we're still in 2019?
Oh, my God.
No, we're still in 2020.
I forgot. Right?
Yeah.
how slow things move here. Wow, so 5 weeks is a big jump.
It is, yeah. Still hasn't reached a year in all 3 years so far.
Which makes me so happy because we get all of these like traditions and annual festivals.
I agree.
Which we'll get to in a few minutes.
So like we said, she wakes up from her dream and she is at her new headquarters for her detective agency. And her dad's come in, both bringing her breakfast. Super cute.
One brought bagels. Carson brought bagels. And Ryan's like, here's a healthy breakfast. This is a green smoothie.
Yeah.
Which breakfast would you prefer?
Both.
Yeah, I would do both too.
Yeah. I don't see it as a choice.
I liked that she was wearing her like quintessential blue and white striped top.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I... If she's not in the apron situation at the claw, that's the outfit I see her in.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly when she's worn that shirt, but she's definitely worn that exact shirt before.
Well, and when they filmed it, there were a lot of like photos released at the time too. I remember seeing it and remembering that shirt. And I thought she looked gorgeous in that
her hair color with the blue and white really pops.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not quintessential, but it is now.
Yes.
The absolute pure joy that the dads are exuding was a bit alarming to me. It's been a while since I've watched the show, and so I had to like get back into the tone for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I got back into it, I was very excited because she's just so miserable.
She is, and they are so wanting her to succeed and to be happy, but don't really know how to go about it. We also learned that Carson is still with Jean, mm-hmm. but she's out of town right now. And has Nancy calls him out, you've clearly rearranged your schedule because now you're an empty nester. Because Ryan has also moved out. He's now a business consultant. So he has his own kind of soft hours. And then we learn that Nancy's big case right now is trying to find Chunky the ferret.
Yeah, they give a lot of other cases she's been up to, giving a bit of exposition about her detective agency. Were those cases previous books from the Nancy Drew series?
They are not the names of books, but I'm sure that they happened. That there was a missing safe and there was a lost antique watch and stuff like that.
Okay. But I liked the way they were saying them. It sounded very titles of books, like Nancy Drew and the Case of blah, blah, blah.
And I did fall into a little rabbit hole trying to figure out if there was anything about a ferret. So one of the series where Nancy and Bess and George are kids, they're like in either grade school or middle school, there is some kind of like pet parade and Nancy has a dog named Chocolate Chip and they call it Chip and it's very cute.
That is cute. Not quite Chunky. Chunky Chip? Chunky Chunky Chip?
Yeah, there were no ferrets, but it did come up when I searched for Nancy Drew and ferrets and all
okay.
that.
Okay, pet parade. So Chunky the ferret is my new favorite character. Often talked about, never seen.
I know. Is this a new keg stand?
Ooh. If we don't get a ferret episode, I will be highly disappointed. Hopefully it doesn't run across any giant spiders.
Oh my God. How hilarious would it be if like just in the background, as they're like looking for, I want to like go back and watch like when they're in the woods and stuff and like the bodies, if there's just like a tiny little ferret running by.
That would be kind of funny. An ongoing joke.
So she isn't making any progress with that. She needs to, because she needs to pay the bills. But Ryan points out that she made a dope murder board.
Mm-hmm. She explains that the eight missing dead, had no relation to each other. And then says, other than they all died under 30 and buried in the same section of the graveyard. I'm like, well, that's a connection. That's two connections.
Yeah, it is.
Also, the same section of the graveyard was a little strange because these people's deaths were so spread out. Mm-hmm. Like, why is there still room in this graveyard? There's someone died in the 80s, someone died in the 90s, someone died in the whatever. Like,
yeah, because I'm not sure how this seemed like kind of a remote graveyard. Like, it seemed more like a private one,
which would lead more to it being like families or something.
Yeah, yeah, because they didn't overlap at all, which I also feel like that's a clue.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means. The new police chief hasn't found out anything about it either. So that immediately like piqued my ears. I was like, oh, there's a new police chief.
You've got to have that adversary for Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
I was excited to see who that person was going to be. I wasn't sure in this moment if it was going to be this episode that we met them.
And then Ryan's like, well, is there any news down at the coroner's office? You know, Ace works there. And Carson's like, stop.
Okay, first of all, Ryan, clearly Ace works there.
Yeah.
Clearly you're saying that to the audience, but it was funny and it fit his character to be obvious.
Mm-hmm. And then they gave us this moment for Nancy to, you know, we find out that she's told her dads everything and
mm-hmm.
she's like, I can talk about a platonic friend who I can't tell I'm in love with, so we don't activate a secret death curse.
I will say this a lot this episode. I think this might be some of Kennedy's strongest acting. I thought she killed this episode. Just the nuances of being miserable and torn. It wasn't the Rafe where she just kind of seemed like, ugh, I'm just here existing. But this was more like, I am a failing adult and felt very metaphorical, very Buffy the Vampire Slayer, taking the mm-hmm. supernatural and turning it into different stages of life.
Yeah.
And I think she crushed it.
Yes. I did like how a bunch of people pointed out on Twitter, like, Nancy, get your stuff together. Because in like a span of like 2 days that this episode is, She can't contain her feelings and almost kisses Ace twice.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, we'll get to each of those. But I'm like, did she forget what's going on? Yeah. That's why she had to send him away.
Yeah.
Apparently their pheromones are too much for each other.
I wonder if that's part of the curse. Like, enhancing it.
I like that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All right, but back to here.
Carson basically tells Ryan to shut up. What you said that Nancy says to them, it's so funny that she says, I'm not upset, but she like yells, I'm not upset.
And you can like hear her voice wavering. Yeah.
It's like, you're clearly the definition of upset.
Yeah. And Carson's like, see, mm-hmm. this is what I told you.
She mentions having lived through it and having to literally push Ace away. Then we get some text messages from Bess, which she's hilarious, and we don't even have her on screen, which made me really happy. I just thought she was very funny in those text messages.
She was. She knows to text Ryan if she wants to get a hold of Nancy to say, tell Nancy she's late, and find out if she muted my notifications, but don't tell her I said that.
He's like,
funny.
She's like, I didn't mute anyone. Right, like he's a child who's just reading mm-hmm. for the first time. You're supposed to read quietly to yourself and then read out loud.
Yeah. And so as she's going off yelling that she didn't mute her, he's texting, oh yeah, she totally muted you. And Carson's like, man, just stop. Mm-hmm.
We get a series of social media posts coming from each Drew crew member. These were so delightfully their characters. And they are promoting the annual lovers vigil on social media. You can see all the little hearts happening. And when we get Nick's,
there are a lot of hearts.
Nick's were blowing up.
And oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that that became a storyline because I noticed it immediately while it was happening. I was like, dang, mm-hmm. Nick. And my first thought was because he has the youth center and the youths are good with the social medias that I figured that he just had more, you know, he's going to have a bigger audience. But then it, of course, turns into this whole subplot of people just be thirsty for him.
Well, and also, he was the one in the kissed Tom in that episode. I'm sure there are people beyond Horseshoe Bay that follow him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It would have been really cute if when you see the social media thing, if like a little message pops up from Tom on there.
I was really hoping for that. Yeah.
I'm glad we are on the same page.
Yeah.
As we weep for the Lost Tom Swift show, which you should go watch again if you have not seen it. And if you have seen it, watch it again and then listen to our podcast, A Swift Review.
Yes. What if Tom swoops in and helps save the Historical Society? Because this is all before his show happened. This is all 2 years before his show happened.
He could show up. So each member of the Drew crew is promoting the Lovers Vigil. And it's also sponsored by Nancy's new detective agency. She is not great at talking in front of a camera.
So funny. She's doing all right. But then she gets a call and answers it while going social media live. Like, mm-hmm. oh, you saw Chunky? And then takes off.
This ferret. The ferret and the number of bodies are the ongoing references through the episode. I thought George actually was crushing it, mm-hmm. surprisingly, until she got overwhelmed and ran off.
Well, yeah, and then she realized, oh, that's tomorrow. I need to go work on catering.
But before that, her one little thing, I was like, she's got presence.
Yeah, she was doing great. And we learned that she is a pre-law student, which is awesome. I'm glad that she is pursuing that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The social media posts were a cute way to give us a little catch up on these characters. Then we are in regular time at the Claw, where we find out that Nick did well because of his post-game interviews. And once again, Nancy could not catch Chunky the ferret. Nick gives her some trouble. How fast can this ferret be if he's Chunky? And then we get a new character. Tristan walks in delivering lobsters, I'm assuming. He's delivering fish.
I think it's lobsters.
Bess's face says so much with her saying nothing. It's very mm-hmm. much like, dude, Nancy, look at this hot guy. And Nancy's like clueless. Like it didn't even.
Oh, no. I feel like Nancy and Bess shared a look. Like they both knew.
Okay. All right.
But Nancy isn't interested. So she's not like acting.
Yeah. But, like, okay. Clueless wasn't the right word. She looked very much like we're not going there.
Yeah.
He was a cutie. And I love anyone who's just bringing lobsters around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was for the lobster.
Sure, sure.
I was so adamantly like, I do not want a new love interest. And then, oh, it's a lobster delivery person. It's a lobster fisherman. We find out Nick is the town's most eligible heartthrob. So why doesn't he sponsor the vigil?
And he's like, well, isn't the vigil about reuniting the souls of long lost loves? I'm done with that for right now. Just trying to figure out how to be single. And Bess is like, oh, well, I cannot wait to reunite with Addie all over the Historical Society.
Bow chick bow wow.
Yeah.
I love that Bess is currently the only one of them in a relationship.
But Nancy's like, okay, no need to rub it in. The rest of us are lonely enough. And she walks off to go get the cider. And then Bess and Nick share a look. Mm-hmm. I love how, like, everyone knows.
Thank goodness. I'm glad that they're caught up with where we are. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to come into the season with, like, okay, who knows what? And how many reveals do we have to have? It was refreshing.
Yes. And Bess very delicately is asking Nancy if she's talked to Ace lately. And she's like, no, I've been giving him space, but how is he? And she's like, well, you can ask him yourself.
Then she parent traps them.
That was great.
So Ace shows up thinking Nancy wasn't going to be there. Nancy's asked to watch the shop. And I was like, Nancy, just go throw a inventory sign on the door and get out of there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seriously.
It's a trap.
And she's like, oh, you don't have to talk to me. You can just go. Or you could stay. And I'm like, Nancy, you would be the most frustrating person to be around right now.
I love her as a character. I don't think I could be friends with Nancy. I could, but it would need to be sparingly.
Yeah.
When I needed help finding ferrets.
Right, right.
Maybe not ferrets.
Yeah, maybe not ferrets. maybe when you got a ghost, then you can depend on her.
Yes, yes.
But certainly not when you need her to cover your shift at the claw.
Mm-hmm. So they start to talk. Ace admits he's mad at her and trying to make peace. He lost a friend over not even a kiss. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel for him. It would be really frustrating. He's the only one who doesn't know what's going on.
Well, the rest of them don't know about the curse, right?
Oh.
I got the impression that only the dads know about the curse.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think Bess could keep that a secret.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. So they all kind of know what's going on, but the dads are fully in the information.
Yeah. And Nancy tells him that she will do anything to be friends again.
He gets excited about that. But then, twist of fate, the police show up and arrest him for taking how many bodies, Sarah?
8 bodies.
Nancy tells him she believes him. Of course she believes him. Absolutely. Yeah. I believed him. Like, there's no part of this felt like we were supposed to suspect Ace.
What kind of wild twist would that be if it turned out like he was behind everything in the town?
Oh my gosh. Let's backtrack and check all of that.
Yeah, that would be a little wild.
Yeah. Then we get the opening title. It's Nancy Drew. Back again.
Yay. We go down to the police station and Joyce is not letting Nancy into the bullpen because the program is under review by the new chief, so she's no longer the community liaison.
That was a really cute moment.
Yeah.
Joyce grabs the little door and stops Nancy, and Nancy's just like, Joyce, what are you doing? Yeah, no, it was cute. Joyce has been around for a little bit.
And we find out that Ace's parents are on the Appalachian Trail, so they can't get a hold of them.
This is the first girl Drew crew scene we get of the season. Mm-hmm. And the girl members of the Drew crew are really like carrying the Drew crew this episode.
Yeah,
we get a little bit of everyone, and of course the way the episode ends, I'm excited for future Drew crewness. Mm-hmm. But it very much felt like these girls were like pulling the weight.
Yep. Well, first
we have to meet a new character.
Yeah, so we meet Chief Lovett.
Are you loving Chief Lovett?
I do not know how to feel about Chief Lovett yet.
She's a lot in this first scene.
She is a lot. And I'm like, is she making fun of Nancy?
Right? She's like fangirling, but like in a condescending way.
Yeah.
I'm very excited to see where she goes. And I'm excited that this episode kind of doesn't give her a lot of development, but kind of shifts like what our expectations are for her.
Mm-hmm.
I, like you, don't trust her.
I do like when she mentions Nancy's track record. And so I like that that means she's done her history. Maybe she actually has been reviewing the community liaison position because she knows that Nancy first solved Rose Turnbull's disappearance when she was 12. And she was like, oh, when I was 12, I was still just looking for lost pets.
Maybe she should go find the ferret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cue a look from Nancy.
Which also goes back to Nancy feeling inadequate and feeling like she hasn't grown up as an adult because she's like, oh, I'm stuck on this case that like I would have done as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Being pulled back down into a grave, if you will.
Yeah.
Ugh, this show's so good.
The grave of childhood. That's a little dark.
I liked and did not like the line from Chief Lovett when Nancy's defending Ace. She's like, he's the child of a police captain. And Chief Lovett's like, yeah, police captains have been known to father children.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, damn.
Yeah, I thought that was a great line. And then she's like, and he's employed by the town. And she's like, yeah, at the coroner's office with the dead bodies. It's like, Nancy, you did not think through your arguments here.
No, because when it comes to Ace, she is blinded by love. No.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I feel like with most of the Drew crew and her dad, she's going to get a little emotional.
Yeah. Chief says that they found something behind Ace's parents' house where he's been house-sitting alone and nods at the person carrying a box saying that, you know, we got the evidence. And Nancy says that's a little small for... How many bodies?
Eight.
And Chief Lovett gives her number, like, oh, we're going to just make everybody or make each other greater.
Yeah, which was promising.
Yeah.
I'm excited for whatever the future is with these two.
Yeah.
Nancy needs rivals and Nancy needs like people to push her.
Mm-hmm.
And this one she probably will not have a romantic love interest in. So, because typically it's, you know, Park or Tamara or... Obviously, she didn't have a love affair with McGinnis that we know of, but...
Oh, no, he did not like her.
No. He came around at the end.
He came around, but yeah.
They always come around. Maybe this one won't. Maybe she'll just be evil. We get my favorite best moment with the box.
Well, first we get George going all habeas corpus.
Oh, God.
Which, I thought habeas corpus was the seizing of houses or whatever. I just looked it up. That's not what it is.
I don't know what George is doing, but I was living for all of it. She is very confident and very trying to be like, this is my new skill set. I don't know anything about law, but I was like, I don't think this is right, George.
No, apparently habeas corpus is a writ requiring a person under arrest to be brought before a judge or into court, especially to secure a person's release unless lawful grounds are shown for their detention. I mean, it seems like it does apply, but... He's going to be seen before a judge. You don't have to be seen immediately.
Yeah, she tried.
She tried. But yeah, then Bess is wonderful.
She just fully leans in and it's one of those ask forgiveness later yeah. moments. She said, oh my God, the ice cream sandwiches I ordered! And just opens the box. Who in the world, like, why was that the thing that popped in her brain?
Is there an ice cream sandwich delivery service?
There needs to be.
There should be.
And also, why would it bring it to the police station?
Right, yeah.
She clearly was out of her mind. But what was really impressive was George snapping a photo of this human arm with a ring on it.
Yeah.
I didn't see the ring. I just saw, not an ice cream sandwich.
Yep.
And the guy's like, this isn't an ice cream sandwich. I'm like, sir, she knows it's not an ice cream sandwich. You should be arresting her, like, for grabbing evidence.
Yeah.
But they scurry off like a ferret.
Mm-hmm. And they go back to the, like a ferret, they go back to the claw. And they're looking at the picture. The hand decide, okay, we need to ID the body. So Bess and George are going to go deep dive on the identity. Nancy is playing the blame game on herself for letting the case go cold. And I love that George says, you know, don't worry, we're going to defrost it.
Like an ice cream sandwich?
Yep. Well, you know, defrost ice cream sandwiches.
As you eat them.
I mean, I guess technically.
The Drew crew has split up. Nick and Nancy are out on patrol, and Nick has a beverage from a fan.
Yeah, Mrs. Bernstein gave him some apple cider because she saw his video. And then he relays all the information that she gave him. That Mr. Williams discovered the arm when he was out walking his dog. The dog barked and then went into Ace's yard and brought back the arm.
Around 10 p.m. I love the visual here of Nancy having her beanie on, her classic sleuthing beanie.
Yeah. Not the white one that Celia gave her. Mm-hmm. It was the black one, yeah.
We find out that Ace potentially can post bail tomorrow, which is promising.
And then he'll have his arraignment or habeas corpus, whatever, in a few days.
More barking happens, which has them looking at Stoop Snoop, which I take as like, what is that? What are the
like
actual
neighborhood apps? Watch kind of thing? Next door?
Next door. Yeah. A place where communities can spy on each other and gossip about what's happening in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But that shows them that the barking has been going on, which I thought was funny. They're looking at all the complaints.
Yeah. And so they decide they're going to follow the dogs, which leads them into the woods. And
that would have been a great moment when they run into the woods from the backyard. If we saw the little ferret just like scamper across the screen.
That would be amazing.
Follow the dogs. They go one way and then you see the ferret go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I don't know what you said. Your one complaint is this episode. I don't think you've revealed it yet. But mine is that they did not have the ferret scampering across the screen.
Well, now it's that. Nancy is, of course, blaming herself for not solving this case weeks ago. And now look where Ace is. And Nick is like, are you sure that that's all that's going on?
Beautiful moment between them.
Yeah.
I've talked in the past seasons that these two never quite had the moments I really wanted them to get.
Mm-hmm.
The Drew crew's great. Nancy's friendships, like obviously her and Nick care about each other, but there hasn't been a ton with them just because they kind of started off together.
Yeah.
And so having a moment where he expresses, hey, I know you better than this. I know you're going through whatever. You can be mm-hmm. real with me. Just was a very good friend moment.
It really was. Nick also says that Ace is a mess and, you know, he's had his heart broken before, but if he has to hear about how his barometer shattered one more time.
That was cute.
But he was interrupted by Nancy finding a footprint. And then we hear rustling. And then we see a body without an arm walking around.
They just stare at it. I think I texted you because we were both watching live. I said, pull out your phone and take a picture of this mm-hmm. body standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, hello, Ace is free. But, you know, supernatural. They don't want to freak people out, bring more questions, yada, yada. I was like, get out your phones! Get out your phones!
I was like, run away. They don't know if this is a friendly revived corpse walking around.
Correct. We find out later that the corpses are just kind of harmlessly meandering. But, well, not meandering. They're on a clear path, but they're just walking.
Mm-hmm.
But here they don't know that. That thing could have lunged at them.
Mm-hmm.
It saunters away slowly. And I love that Nick just takes a drink.
Oh my God, that was hilarious. Yeah, Nancy's like, I don't think the bodies were stolen. They were raised from the grave itself. And yep, he's just like,
Over at the Historical Society, Bess is organizing some relics. And Ryan thanks her for agreeing to hear out the glasses. She's like, well, I haven't really agreed to that yet.
Yeah.
The glasses are the people from the previous season that basically got Ryan's car and were being all shady. It was like the last two episodes, last episode.
I think it was the last episode. He went to get a relic to help with Temperance
mm-hmm.
and he had to leave his Porsche. It was like a hostage situation.
Yes.
Because in the version where Ryan died, Nancy couldn't figure out where his car was.
Okay. They're going to be a big part of this season.
Mm-hmm.
And typical Ryan, they're already there. They're chilling. And Bess is like, I will talk to them after the vigil, which I thought was very big of her humoring him. Their friendship is cute.
And he is saying that like this could be a way to help out because the city council is going to vote to cut funding to the Historical Society. And so he's like, you could help me. They could help you.
Mm-hmm.
Win-win for everyone.
Yeah, she's trying to prove that the Historical Society is important without exposing its ghostly secrets.
But, like you said, they were already there. So she walks into the room and is forced into the meeting. And the glasses are telling her, like, you know, these relics, they're not on the books anyways. When you get them, we could help you sell them for a pretty good price. You know, we split it. Works out for everyone.
Made sense to me. But she's, you know, only giving them half her attention. What's really important here in this scene is how cute her, Bess's outfit is.
Okay. What was it? You'll have to remind
me.
It's
the... You no recollection.
I was paying attention to the plot. I do understand Bess's point of view, because what if the shroud that saved George's life, what if that was in the wrong hands? They can't just sell this stuff to anyone. I mean, this was a pretty big storyline on Supernatural with people selling stuff on the black market and,
oh, really?
And all that. Yeah.
It works because we see her point and it's valid, but he's also trying to save his own behind, which is valid. I like that when both characters have legit reason for their motivations.
Yeah. Before she tells him no, she gets a phone call and kind of steps slightly away, but still close enough that they could hear. She, you know, confirms, okay, 4 p.m. at the docks. And she is very polite when she declines her offer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ryan is apologetic to the Glass family, and he's like, but you saw I did everything I could. Yeah, you're right. You can have your car back. Deal's a deal.
Didn't trust that at all.
No. But, of course, Ryan's like, oh, sweet. Everything worked out perfectly for me.
I love him so much. He's so dumb.
He's very dumb. I mean, it's...
In the best way.
Yes. And, I mean, I don't blame him. Given his history, everything was always handed to him.
Right.
So, yeah.
So when the keys are handed back, he's like, perfect.
Yeah.
Got it.
Nothing could go wrong now.
And it also is a positive trait in him, too, because with all the things that have gone on, he still does kind of just believe in, like, goodness.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, they're telling me that everything's fine. Everything's fine.
And which is a good balance, because Nancy is pretty negative. So she has that father who is looking for the bright side and everything. Mm-hmm. And then Carson is just very practical.
Mm-hmm.
And so she does have good parent figures in her life for that.
Yeah. And to extend that even to the Drew crew, you've got like George, who's more on the Carson end, and Bess, who's more on the Ryan end. And so it's kind of nice to have those people that can kind of link up with each other.
Mm-hmm. Back over at Icarus Hall. Are we calling it Icarus Hall?
I've been calling, well, in my notes, I've been calling it Nancy's workplace.
Okay.
Nancy's agency.
Nancy Drew Investigations.
Yeah. I mean, it is Icarus Hall.
Yeah.
But that just makes me think of Temperance.
I know.
Blech.
Yeah. So back over at Nancy Drew Investigations, she is taking down all the cases from her board that can wait. All the paying cases.
With the Drew Crew girls, because that's the team this episode.
Mm-hmm. And trying to kind of brainstorm why and how the corpses are reanimating and rising, and like, is it a ritual gone awry? Is it a mystical timer went off? I love how dependable Bess is in this episode, because early last season, like, she had to literally get everyone on the Bess bus, mm-hmm, and get their support, that she knows her stuff, and now they just are, you know, blindly listening to her kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. A lot of shows like this will have a team where they all have their own specific functions, like the Gotham Knights that you recap,
mm-hmm,
that has like, this is your job and this is your job, and mm-hmm, here it's very earned. Like all four seasons, I feel like these characters develop and you really earn, like, okay,
yeah,
Nick is good at this because of these episode examples and this, mm-hmm, skill set, and Bess, like you just said, earned it in the last season. So I think that's really cool. It's more believable.
I agree. But her information isn't super helpful, because she's like, this happens in lots of cultures, lots of lore, so it's hard to know the information, and it depends a lot on how they died to know how you deal with them.
So her plan for today is to get proof to Chief Lovett that Ace is innocent. I like that. It's breaking down the goals.
Mm-hmm.
Our big goal is to solve the mystery, but today we are freeing Ace and we'll deal with the rest as it comes.
Yeah. Which is good. And she has a theory that the bodies bury themselves during the day, and then at night, they rise.
which makes sense. We also discover that the ring arm belonged to a woman named India, who died most recently of all of the eight bodies in 1998. This episode is brought to you by the number eight.
I thought it was 1988.
Oh, sorry.
More eights.
I don't know. 19 something eight. It's the most recent
yes.
death.
Yeah.
And she was depressed on her boat, which no one has been inside since she died. I'm like, why? Why would they not sell it? Why would they not?
Well, her parents were wealthy, and so maybe they just let it kind of go.
Yeah.
That they did not want to deal with it. To accept to sell it would be to move on from their daughter, kind of thing. Like, I do believe that.
Sure, sure. Just 1988 or 1998 is a long time ago now
is,
at
yeah.
this point.
We find out that George is helping Carson with Ace's case, and so Nancy's kind of asking about it, and they get all awkward.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that Ace has been suspended from his job at the morgue until this is all over.
Oh, no. I was like, we're not going to get Coroner Connor.
I mean, I figured that would get resolved right away, though.
Yeah. No, we'll get him.
Yeah.
But in that line, I was like, no, I want him now.
Yeah. So we go down to the boat docks, and Nancy's sneaking around to avoid security, and she goes onto the Lost Time, which is India's yacht.
She gets on there real easily, and my God, I guess I didn't have to wait very long to make this complaint. This boat was so clean for being 1998 or 1988.
Mm-hmm.
They open on some like cobwebs, and then the rest of the boat.
And I was like,
is
are there
spotless.
Gonna be giant spiders?
You just see a spider like surfing behind. Yeah, the boat, everything would have been caked in dust. That is like 40 years ago, 30 years, like a long time. Too long to not be dusty.
Yeah.
And she finds a notebook that has some unusual markings in it and ends up snatching the book because she hears someone looking for her, sees him out the little window, and she runs to the fish guy. It's Tristan again.
Yeah. And she's like, hi. And he's like, hi, how are you? And she's like, hide me.
Okay. Is it sketchy of him to just help her flat out without, like, she could have just murdered someone. He's very trusting.
Yeah, but she has a reputation in the town.
Oh, you're right.
And so I would think that he would know about her. Plus, he's probably been seeing her when he goes to the claw.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think... I'm trying to think if
she didn't have bloody hands or anything. It wasn't like so super suspicious. He probably saw her get off the boat and was like, okay, she's just snooping around.
Yeah, and seems like from his interaction with the security guard, like maybe they've had run-ins in the past that they don't get along, so he's not going to be helping them.
So he puts her in the lobster hold, which she's not excited about.
No.
And I was giving her trouble for it. Honestly, I probably wouldn't be excited either.
No.
Because they do have nippy little claws.
Yeah. It would smell.
Oh, see, I like fishy smell. Like oceanside.
But would you like that fishy smell if you were stuck in a dark box with it and it was pinching you?
Not the pinching. Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay. It was fair. But she jumps in and he basically tells the person looking for her, like, you can come back with a warrant. Bye.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, well, I'll have your boat impounded. And he's like, sure, you explain to the Gloversons why their delivery is going to be late.
Yeah, so he's got a little bit of pull. So he's been doing this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy gets out and she's like, thank you, but also disgusting. Like, oh my God, lobsters.
And she says that she hopes that he didn't, you know, jeopardize his boat and his livelihood. Like, thinking of him and, like, I wonder if that's going to come back or anything. He says that he just hopes that he can run into her again and... He reaches towards her and she's like concerned and then he pulls a lobster off of her.
And she screams and runs away.
Yep. Fair.
I think that's fair. The sound of the lobster like being pulled off of her. I was like, that was good job sound effects. Like,
yeah. So she goes back to the Historical Society and is working on the sketches, trying to figure out what that is.
And we hear about Nick being a media darling with 50,000 views and rising.
That's huge.
I was really impressed that Bess wasn't jealous here of the social media stuff. Be like, well, why am I not getting more attention?
I feel like it shows her growth since the first season, because now she's caring about the Historical Society and getting that together. And Nick is helping.
She's caring about her friends, too.
Yeah. And George is just caring that all the women in this town are thirsty as hell.
Yeah, she's the one who's jealous.
Yeah, and she says she doesn't regret breaking up with him, but, like, they haven't had a chance to talk yet.
Another missed opportunity for Tom Swift. Bess should have been like, these are Tom Swift numbers.
Mm-hmm. That's low for Tom Swift numbers.
I know.
So Ryan comes in carrying in the supplies, and he asks Nancy why she's sketching an outline of Old Horseshoe Bay.
Look at him being useful.
Yeah. And I love that he knows that, because he used to take Lucy out to, like, the one place to look at the stars.
Sweet.
Like, oh, that's really sweet. I love that he still thinks of her that way. And then that clues Nancy in, like, what if the bodies are following a pattern? And she asks Bess to track all the barking dog complaints on Stoop Snoop. Bess is like, yeah, but we'll send it from the road because Ryan's taking me to go get a shipment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their plan is to try to figure out, like, if they know where the bodies are going, then they can meet them there.
Yeah.
So they get in the car, and she's still wearing her super cute outfit. Very important. And the car starts going awry, and Ryan's like, the brakes are going out. And it hits a tree directly between them. So it cuts to a commercial break, and I was anxious.
I was thinking we could take a break here.
Yeah, let's take a break and then hear about me being anxious. We are back, and luckily I didn't have to be anxious for too long because they are both totally fine. It would have been a really intense first episode to be like, okay, it's the final season, we're getting someone seriously injured.
Yeah, I'm glad, because I had enough with the car crashes with the first season one with Ace. Like, I did not need to have another. Bess is calling the people that she was meeting, saying that she won't be there for the shipment, but, oh, it's fine, because her assistants just went and picked it up.
She's like, I don't have any. It's the glasses.
Yeah, because Ryan is finding a talisman melted into the engine.
Ugh, these glasses are going to be little pests.
Yeah, and Bess is ready to give them a piece of her mind.
They could have died.
Yeah, and Ryan is like, no, let me handle this. This is way too dangerous.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, which, sweet thought that he wants to, like, take care of them, that he's trying to play that parental role, but Ryan, you can't do it.
She's the one with magic.
Yeah.
Bess is the second most capable person in the entire group, if not the first.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see the lover's vigil. What were your thoughts on Nancy's hair?
I really liked it. I thought that the whole outfit fit in with, like, a timeless kind of aura to it. She was very sad.
I know!
And that was a little overwhelming.
She just looked like a sad, like, forest nymph.
Yeah.
Her hair was super cute. I saw on some social media a picture of that hair on, like, a wig. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, is this for a stunt double? Which excited me. I know on your other podcast, the Stargirl After Show, you interviewed a stunt performer and were very sweet and asked them about the wigs for me. Because I think it's fascinating. So it was cool. I think Kennedy posted it, and it was her hair with the little head with a wig on it too. So.
Mm-hmm. Which there wasn't a need for a stunt double, I didn't think. I also learned talking with that stunt performer that they're used in, like, the wildest circumstances. So it's like that actor isn't here today, so the stunt double just steps in.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. It could have been anything.
Yeah.
It even could have been like, we're going to practice the hair out first on this head form and then like work on Nancy's actual hair, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bess and Ryan show up, and Ryan lies to Nancy about the flat tire.
Yeah. She also gets a text from her dad that Ace is out on bail, but she doubts he'll come tonight. At least he's sleeping at home. And she feels a little relieved from that. Bess gives her the info on the barking dogs.
What a professional. Mm-hmm. We saw when they were driving the car that she was like looking up the information. But after the car crash, she not only went and changed for the vigil. We don't know how much time there was, but she changed for the vigil and also still finished her task that she committed to.
Yeah.
Professional.
Yeah. Bess gets stuff done. But then Addie shows up and Nancy is jealous but acts okay and sends them off to go dance.
They're cute.
Yeah.
This is really only Natty's only real moment, right?
Well, there's one more moment.
Sure, sure, sure.
But yes.
she's not in this.
Yeah, she doesn't have many lines in this one.
I'll bring it up now. I thought it was this episode really focuses on the Drew crew and the dads.
Yes.
And we get the chief. We get a little bit of Addie to be like, hey, there's still this supporting character. And we get the glasses to be like, hey, they're going to be a thing throughout the season. But for the most part, the episode's really driven by the core.
Yeah.
Which excited me. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like, was it season two that pulled back a little bit on stuff because of the pandemic?
Yeah.
So that really focused on the core group because it had to. This felt like a choice where they were doing it because it's the final season and they want it to be very clean. At least that's how I read it, which I appreciated.
Yes, I agree. We cut to a few more members of the crew. George is on the couch on her phone and Nick comes up. George comments, great, now all my failings are coming crashing together at once.
That was the most Ben moment of my entire life. I laughed so hard when she said that. And I was also like, George, you are being so dramatic. And I was like, wow, I've like literally had moments like that. And Nick's like failing.
Yeah. Yeah. She's going on about how Judge Abbott said what she wrote was unusable. She doesn't know what shepherding is. And Nick's like, well, it's not going to mean much coming from one of your failings. And she apologizes, which good on her because that's...
She doesn't apologize. She says she shouldn't have called him one of her failings.
Oh, okay.
She does not say sorry.
Oh, all right. All right.
She says, I should not have said that. So it's a form of it. It's a George
apology. Yeah.
Yeah. He's there and he's listening. And I hope they get back together at the end of the season.
I don't know. I don't know if I want that yet. I feel like I want to see them, what they do on their own first. Because they're both, you know, on different paths right now.
Yeah.
Like they need to find themselves before they do that.
We'll see.
Yeah, we will.
He sold the ring for money and we saw George see it in the pawn shop. And so she's really upset about that. And he's like, hey, I needed the money. I'm not doing it to hurt you. And she is not convincing when she says she wasn't hurt. It's like, you're clearly like,
you've been holding on to this for 5 weeks. You're clearly hurt. And he did it because he needed the money to seal up the veil. Like, it was a very important thing he needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just like, oh, we wanted this new thing for the youth center. It was, hey, we needed to stop the town from having another tsunami or whatever.
Exactly. And at least she admits that seeing the ring felt like it was final.
And then they agree they're not going to just live their lives thinking, oh, well, we might get back together. Like, they need to live their life apart to actually, you know, be able to live. And she makes him promise to say yes. And I had a full-on Debs moment where the guy is like, promise you'll say yes. Yes to love.
Debs is a very obscure movie from, what, the early 2000s?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's complete camp, but you should go watch it.
Absolutely. Oh, it's great.
Yeah, that whole part where she's like, you should say yes to all the women who are going to ask you out. I was like, George, you are being too much. It was beautifully shot, though.
Yeah.
Like, they're on the couch facing each other, and it's from, like, behind. It was well done.
And then we go over to Nancy, painstakingly adjusting all the glasses to make sure it is all arranged just so, because she doesn't want to think about all the love that's surrounding her. Yeah. She just is trying to play her role of hosting this.
The chief shows up And in the first scene, I was like, I don't know how I feel about her. And here I'm immediately like, nope, don't like you. She's like, I feel like something illegal is going on. I don't know what it is. I'm like, get out.
Yeah. And then she's like, what's this arts and crafts? And Nancy's like, it's the centerpiece for the lover's vigil. And I'm like, you are rude.
Yeah, she's so rude. And Nancy, props to you for not clapping back, going off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would have had the same restraint.
Nancy explains the lore. You know, on this night, lovers' souls separate in death can find each other. And calls Lovett out on her issues with what people in the town believe.
Yeah, she's like, I don't believe in ghost stories. It's like, well, you're in for a rude awakening, ma'am.
Yeah.
Nancy goes to get more bottles, and we see Bess and Addie
spin kiss across the place.
Oh, was yeah, that the was, other moment of
that
Addie?
Was the other moment.
What a fun payday for her.
Yeah.
She shows up, has two lines, and then just makes out and gets paid for an episode.
Yeah.
Love it.
That would be amazing job.
And Nancy is going to write a name in a bottle to bring her lover back to her.
Yeah, I wonder whose name she's going
to
write.
Oh, you texted me live in this moment that you wanted to see the piece of paper because we don't know what Ace's last name is.
I was like, yeah, it has to be Ace Hardy.
Right. It's yeah. Ace Hardy. And of course, at the reveal of the piece of paper later in the episode, it just says Ace. I'm like, come on.
Yep, that's my one complaint.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Give us what we want. Give us what we deserve. Royalties, such a minor detail. So Ace runs into her. So does that mean it worked?
I don't think so, because it's reuniting in death.
Oh, yeah, but from a story point,
yes,
I'm writing a name on a bottle to bring my lover to me, and then your lover shows up.
It's true, but a whole bunch of other people show up.
Yeah, horny people trying to mac in the back room, right? Is that what that was?
It seemed like they were like, oh, there's an open door out. We're just going to go explore.
Okay.
But it was like back in the private where all the actual dangerous stuff is. And she's like, hey, everyone get out. And then Ace like does his whistle and gets everyone out. And then Nancy just like looks admiringly at him because he was able to do that.
And they both apologize. Actual apologies, not George apologies. And I'm screaming, you're too close to each other. Back away.
Yep. They're leaning. And
something else cracks.
Yeah, she's like wishing she could apologize, and the glass that she's holding that has his name in the bottle, that breaks in her hand.
Which glass in your hand is terrible. And so I was like, oh my god.
Well, it's no worse than all the times where they do a sacrifice and have to cut their hand to get blood.
Thank you for taking that where I wanted you to take it.
I know it happened, and I'm like, all right, do you guys have any rituals to do? Because now's the time. And she's like, oh, well, it must have cracked when I tripped earlier, and now it just broke more. And so she sticks a bottle in a super secret place beneath a file folder and then goes off to clean it up.
Then we go to Carson having a dad moment with a member of the Drew crew that is not his actual child.
These might be some of my favorite moments of the series.
Because he's such a good dad.
And he knows before she even tells him. He's like, hey, did I ever tell you about how I tanked my first law exam?
Yeah, he knew what she was upset about.
Yeah. Which, like, did he hear that? Or did, like, Judge Abbott call and be like, whoa?
No, I think he could tell from just looking at her.
Yeah.
Which
and her obsession of looking on her phone.
Very dad thing. And he talks about his good time management system. And this got me. I welled. I had tears welling in my eyes when he's like, a judge would not spend this much time giving feedback if they didn't believe in you. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's true. They would just be like, no, this is trash. Or
yeah, like it would go be like, a couple pages and be like, no, I'm not wasting any more until you fix it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. A bunch of notes means like you have something here and I want it to be better.
Yeah. And he also tells George that her skills of juggling a million things at once has, you know, she's needed that to survive this far, and that might be what is, you know, hurting her in this situation, that she needs to be able to give her everything to this one thing. And I really like that, because it was like he was seeing her on all that she's had to do for her sisters and everything, and acknowledging that you did that, it was necessary, but now is the time that you need to shift over.
Mm-hmm. And he offers to help her focus, and we don't see her accept it, but it's implied.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Nancy is walking and sees a map on the wall of the first map of Horseshoe Bay. The group finds her in the back, tracing the town limits.
With a bunch of maps from all different time periods, each one correlating to one of the 8 missing bodies. So I guess there were 8 maps.
Yes. I'm sure she was so excited to like have this revelation, like, oh my God, thank God I have something I can work on and get away from this lover's vigil and step away from Ace. Like, I can throw my everything into this. She finds that all of the town limits, they convene at Geiger Clearing. And from the dog barking, she knows that that's where they will be tonight. And then there was this weird, the camera was on this painting that had 8 people in it. And then Nancy kind of stepped into the frame.
Oh, look at you sleuthing. I did not catch that.
So I feel like that was probably important.
She gonna die.
I think I did.
What is that? Sorry. I wonder if the time difference between each body, like if it's spaced out to be such amount of time, and the time difference from the last one to now is that time period, and like there's going to be a 9th person.
Oh, that's it. I feel like she would have picked up on that. Too much sleuthing.
Interesting. I mean, that's what we're here for. Sleuthing.
And then they mentioned that Geiger Clearing is the place where the town was founded.
Is it Geiger? I thought it was Geiger.
It was Geiger. I watched with the subtitles. Oh, and okay. It's like Geiger.
Okay, cool.
All right. So now George stays behind to run the vigil. And then the rest of them are all walking through the woods.
Yeah, they've got flashlights. And this is the first time we see, like, the crew. I mean, Nancy had her moment with Nick, but this is the first time we see a bunch of crew members where it's not just the 3 girls. I'm like, we're getting them back. This is it. This is, like, the climax of the episode. This is exciting stuff.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that George didn't go. Like, it made sense that someone had to stay behind. Maybe she just wanted Bess to be there for the knowledge of, you know, reanimated bodies and all that. It just seems strange that George was the one to leave behind.
Yeah. It makes sense that Ace went because it's him that they're trying to clear.
Yeah.
And Nick had patrolled with her earlier, so he's already kind of been walking around and Bess's knowledge. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
And George is all distracted by her upsetting failings, so it's probably like, you're not going to be super helpful right now.
Yeah. Or Nancy doesn't think the bodies remember anything, and from Bess's research, they're not like conscious. They're more like rogue nuclear submarines. They're programmed, but mindless and on a warpath.
But the Drew crew is there to exonerate Ace. Again, that is their goal for this episode.
And they get there. They see all the bodies walking to a spot, and they are wrongfully not afraid of all of them.
Yeah, the heck? And yeah, then
they are outnumbered.
Do they not hear the dramatic, creepy music that we hear?
I don't think they do.
That would be kind of funny. And the bodies just kind of like freeze in these weird positions.
And that's when Chief Lovett shows up and asks what's happening and how are they doing this.
She got there because Nancy had texted her to show up. And I'm like, yes, Nancy, you are not wasting time. You are not playing around. You are feeling all guilty about all this stuff with Ace that you're like, I am doing anything to save him right now.
And she is confident in herself that this is right. Like, she's not going to be taking the chief out and not find anything. She's like, no, I'm going to see the bodies tonight and I'm going to show them to her.
Yep.
And the bodies start like convulsing and spitting
goo.
Yeah.
Black goo.
And then they collapse.
And that's where we get Nick's one line from the trailer.
Yeah. And then they ask Chief Lovett, how do you feel about dropping all those charges?
What a good moment. I was like, okay, good. The charges are dropped. Like, I took that as they got what they wanted. It goes to the last commercial break of the episode. And then we're back at the Historical Society.
Is she living at her
agency?
Because the comment about Carson with the empty nest.
Yeah, she's living there. Why is she living where Temperance was all up being evil?
Yeah, that seems weird.
Nancy, she needs
maybe therapy. It's another part of like the curse or something that it's affecting them more than they know, that she feels like drawn to stay close. Or maybe she's doing it like, maybe if I'm close here, I'll be able to find something out about how to break it.
Who knows? Or maybe she's just tired of people asking if she's okay. So yeah. She's like, I'm going to separate myself because so many people live around the Drew area.
Yeah.
There, what season was it where there was like someone on the couch, someone in the guest rooms?
Yeah. Ryan is asking Nancy, you know, why the long face? And she's like, you know, I thought exonerating Ace would help, but it didn't. Because I've been lying to him for weeks. And she's like, my compass is off. I don't have a sense of my true north. I'm supposed to be an adult. And I'm like, sounds pretty normal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Adulting.
She's like a, what, 20-year-old? And she's going through all the things that I'm a little older. But, like, that doesn't change. You're going to feel that way most of your life. Even when you're successful and happy, you're still going to feel like, oh, I could be doing more.
Yeah. And Ryan's like, welcome to the club. We're all just winging it. Yeah.
So cute, especially because he also just kind of recently became an adult. Like, mm-hmm. He's obviously a lot older than her, but with like the dishwashing scenes and these grocery shopping that we've gotten in other seasons, having Ryan kind of becoming an adult at the same time as Nancy is really mm-hmm. cool.
It is, yeah.
I'm mad at you though, because you how'd you forget the dishwashing? I'm mad at you for glazing over that there was no word on Chunky the ferret. We can't miss any reference
I'm
to
sorry.
Chunky.
I'm sorry. No.
It's okay. I forgive you. I forgive your actual apology, not the George apology.
But Nancy is not happy with that answer. She's like, I want to be someone that I can be proud of. And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's good. That's good for you, Nancy. But also, you should accept you aren't always going to be happy.
This is when I wrote down that Kennedy is slaying this episode.
Yeah.
She really handles the complex emotions Nancy's going through well.
Mm-hmm. And then Bess comes in without looking and asks Ryan if he's confronted the glasses yet because she needs those relics back.
I love that she accidentally spills the beans. But then once the beans are spilled, she just further goes. And mm-hmm. so she throws in the part about them hitting a tree.
Yeah. And Ryan comes clean, but he's like, you know, as your father, promise me that you're going to stay away. They're very dangerous. And I was like, there is no way she's going to keep that. Immediately, Nancy is knocking on the glasses door, and our new friend Tristan answers.
Oh, yeah, who I didn't mention when I was saying all the supporting characters of this episode.
Yeah, I know.
So he's there, and he's just happy to see her.
Yeah, and Nancy's just like, wait, this is your house? You're the child of Jonas and Shelby? And he's like, yeah. And then she just leaves.
That threw me. I understand we only have so much time in however episodes and they want to like draw it out, but she apparently is so flustered by this moment or so like whatever about it that she's gonna ignore that these people just tried to kill Ryan and Bess.
Yeah.
I'm like, you had one moment with this man and it was not even your sexiest moment you've had with random people. Like,
it's hard to be sexy when you're having lobsters hang off of you.
Absolutely. But I don't think she should have been flustered enough by that fact. It's not like they made out. It wasn't like, it was just, here's some guy I know and now he's the child of these people that are bad. I would have been like, well, are your parents home?
Yeah. Well, I think she was just completely thrown off, like just from seeing him and then like the world's colliding. Like,
but she shouldn't have been because nothing happened.
Well, no, but she's like, I trust this guy. You know, he's dependable at the Claw. He helped me out.
Well,
how is he connected? Or does he know stuff? And is he trying to get in and like get information?
Yeah, but just like police chiefs can birth criminals or whatever, these shady glass people can mm-hmm. birth a nice lobster man.
This is true.
Am I shipping the lobster man? This is wild.
I think you are. Pretty hard.
I love lobsters, you guys. I can already say I like him more than Owen and Gil.
100%.
And Tamara.
Yeah.
So I guess he only has two competitors. All right.
Speaking of one of those competitors, back at the Historical Society, AC is the glass bottle that Nancy left and takes a look at the paper.
So that threw me. So I'm glad you said earlier that it was like just thrown under there or whatever. Because I was like, did someone deliver this to him? Like, I was thrown by like the how he got it. And so I was starting to be like, who gave him that information?
Oh, no. She literally just like lifted the paper, shoved it there, and then went to go clean her hand.
Yeah, I buy that now from what happened. But And so he sees that, and we start to get a little end of the episode montage of multiple things happening at once, which the show loves doing.
Yeah. As Nancy is going over the case.
Murder board.
Yeah, going over the murder board of 8 murders, 8 bodies. We see that liquid that came out of those dead bodies is making its way, running off into the municipal reservoir.
Blech.
And then the power goes out.
Because she didn't actually pay the bill.
Because she didn't find Chunky, but knock on the door, maybe that's Chunky.
And if it's not, she's not interested. She was cracking me up.
Yes.
Oh my god, if she'd open the door and this little ferret was just standing there, I'd be like, yeah, it's best episode ever.
Oh my god. How adorable would that be?
Oh god. But it was Ace, and he's like, hey, I know this is your handwriting. You wrote this. We've worked together in a restaurant. I see you write things for orders all the time. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And
and of course there was no last name.
Of course not.
Kind of brought some other dead Ace to her. She's playing with fire. She knows these traditions are real. What's she doing? Maybe she doesn't know his last name.
Nancy Drew knows his last name.
You're right. I'm sorry. I formally apologize.
And he tells her, because he's a Hardy Boy, and so he has also picked up on clues, that the barometer shattered and then that glass broke, and both times we were close enough to... And then the flashlight breaks.
Because they're going to kiss. And I love how she just casually waves the flashlight, being like, well, happened again. Like, that gesture was just so well done. Mm-hmm. It's just like, well, F our lives. We can't avoid this.
And it's like she wants him to know. She doesn't want to tell him.
Mm-hmm.
But she wants him to know so that he knows why she's acting this way.
And then she does tell him.
Yeah. She says, Ace, we can't. He says, tell me why not.
I was so happy that this wasn't drawn out.
Yes. Because
now he's like, okay, well, I need to not get too close to you. And they can work together on it. Why mm-hmm. didn't you tell him 5 weeks ago?
I mean, I understand that Ace can be impulsive and think that he knows things. And so like, oh, well, I'll just try and break it. And in the process, kill himself. And then Nancy would again feel responsible.
Right. And we've learned in this episode that they can't avoid each other. It's not realistic. It's mm-hmm. hurting the whole friend group. It's separating people. They need to all be together. And so I'm ecstatic that we can hopefully move forward with a Drew crew that knows things and a Drew crew that's all working together for the common good.
Yeah.
Because that's when they're the strongest.
And I'm expecting some really supportive sassiness from Bess because... It's a curse. Why wouldn't Nancy tell Bess and Bess could help her?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, tell Ace's platanker mm-hmm. so you all can get on board.
Yeah, because Bess will not take chances with Ace's life, but she will do anything she can.
Oh my god. I really hope we get Nancy and Ace getting too close and characters are like, nah, 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 nah. They like pull them apart. That's cute.
They like develop like a 3-foot rule or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting curse. And we said this at the end of last season. We're like, what are the rules? Because acting on your feelings, I feel like saying you have feelings is acting on your feelings. But this feels a little more old school. Like it's mm-hmm. about the physical stuff.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I love that necessarily from a romantic person. Or like an asexual perspective, because there are people out there who can have romantic feelings for people, but not physical feelings for people. Like that's yeah. a very much real thing. But this curse, you know, is old and temperance is old. So I'm sure it's just like, okay, you can't be getting jiggy with it. But saying you like someone, I think should put Ace's life in danger. I think they need to clarify the rules here. Does that make sense?
Well, it's if you act on it. Act on your feelings. So I don't think acknowledging it is acting on it.
I mean, saying the words I like you is an act.
Right, but I don't think you're actually like nothing can come of it though.
Sure. The curse is basically don't touch each other in a sexy way.
Yeah.
It's all right. I'm excited that he knows. Mm-hmm. I am glad he knows. And as we move forward in the season, I'm sure we'll get a little clarification on like what does and what doesn't put him in danger when the glass is shattering and when it's not and what they can do. I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see them push the boundaries and the friends and parents to hopefully be like, nope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited too.
So that's probably what I'm most excited about for the season. Do we want to, we have some other things. That was the episode. How do we want to make predictions? Do we want to make hopes for the season? Do we want to move on to our other segments and end with hopes for the season?
Yeah, let's do our MVPs.
So we do MVPs here. Most valuable player, most valuable person. And we have two categories. Super Sleuth, which sounds cool, but really just means the most helpful person. Interpret that however you want. And most entertaining. And the only rules we have is that we can't say the same person for the same episode. Like my two can't both be the same person and your twos can't be your same person.
Yes.
And then I also try to not repeat people back-to-back episodes, but that one I'm not as strict about.
No, because that's hard. All right. So who would you say was the most helpful Super Sleuth?
I had three that I was going back and forth on. The one that I actually think it is, I didn't give it to because I want to give it to, I want to give them the other one.
Okay.
So for Super Sleuth, most helpful, I'll say one. I think I'm going with Bess.
Okay.
I think we're going with Bess. She had a lot of good moments. She had a lot of interactions with different people and different things. Like there's not just one thing to point to. You answer and then I'll say who the other one I was thinking about was.
Okay. I think I'm going to give it to Ryan.
Oh.
Because him recognizing that it was the map, like just from the sketch he made, that was a map of Old Horseshoe Bay. I think that kind of set Nancy on the right path. I think she would have gotten there eventually, but he really kickstarted that there. Plus, he was just like supportive to her throughout the episode. And, and so I thought that he was the most helpful in this one.
Nice. I totally see that. Yep. The other person I was thinking is definitely not the answer, but I want to give an honorable mention just because they were very helpful to a specific character moment. I really loved the Carson and George scene.
Okay.
And so I felt Carson was helpful for George's like growth and future storylines.
Yes. Okay. I thought you were going to be like Tristan.
I, because girl.
He hit her in the lobster thing and you love him apparently.
I'm not coming in that hot that soon. Give me a couple episodes.
Okay.
No. So most entertaining, if you couldn't guess, I'm actually going with Nancy.
Me too.
Okay. I just thought, again, the third time this episode, Kennedy's acting was so good.
Mm-hmm.
Entertaining isn't always some outlandish Bess hilarity moment. It isn't always some sassy line from George. Those are often my answers. Or some smoking scene with Park. Like, those are often how I lean for this. But for this, I was like, no, I'm entertained because you're giving a really good performance.
Yes, and she was very, like, human throughout the whole thing. Yeah, I completely agree.
And that's why, because I feel like Nancy was probably also the most helpful. But it's her show. Right. It would be easy to most episodes give Super Sleuth to Nancy Drew.
Right.
All right, Sarah, did you have anything for What's Old Nancy Drew? Potentially the references in the beginning of the different cases.
Yeah.
That at least sounded like books, even if it wasn't books. It was kind of a nod to like her just having these different little side quest storylines. All right. And then for the Hardy Party, any clues about Ace being a Hardy boy? I mean, the fact that there's not a last name shows that they're intentionally not giving a last name still, always and forever. And when we had our interview with Melinda Shue Taylor, she said, well, we don't have the rights to that, which I took as we want to and we can't.
Yes, I'm absolutely taking that as that answer because, we're right.
And she's awesome and she loves us. So, I mean, we love her.
Both.
Obviously both. So, Sarah, thoughts so far? Predictions?
I think that we're going to come in hot next episode trying to figure out this curse. I think the whole Drew crew is going to be working together. But I also think we got, eight bodies, so we need to figure out what's going on with two.
And then where are the spiders going to come into it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Every episode that doesn't happen is just going to push us.
It better not be in the finale.
They wouldn't show a clip from the finale. No. Why would there be a spider in the finale? That's like an episode 4 or 5 situation.
Probably.
Monster of the week, whatever.
Yeah.
I am excited for where the glass storyline is going. I'm excited for Tristan. I'm not super excited about Chief Lovett, but I like that she is aware that there's something mythical going on.
Yeah, I'm excited for how her role is going to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Chief McGinnis didn't acknowledge to the public about his knowledge of the supernatural,
mm-hmm.
but clearly did to Nancy. And so is Chief Lovett going to admit to that stuff?
I hope
Could
not.
Could that change Horseshoe Bay?
Oh, maybe.
And then everybody in Horseshoe Bay is like, yeah, of course there's ghosts. Yeah.
Right. They're like, okay, new girl. Like, we already are hip to this information. We have literal traditions, like annual things, because we believe in this stuff.
Yeah. So that would be kind of an interesting take.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see where that ends up.
Mm-hmm. All right, Sarah. Romances of the show. So you don't think George and Nick are going to get back together, or you don't want them to get back together?
I currently don't think that they will.
Okay.
I want them to explore on their own a little bit.
Sure.
I would not be upset if they end up back together.
I would kind of like they don't get back together, but you know they're going to.
Yeah.
Like we're in a really good place together, and maybe we like share that we still want to in the last episode or so. Something that's like, it's going to happen after the show kind of thing.
Yeah.
What about Bess and Addie? I have nothing against the actress. I've never been sold on any of Bess's love interests.
No, except for the one woman who she had like that one.
That never, nothing happened with that.
Nothing happened with, but I really liked her.
She was intriguing. It seemed like there was a plan there. But I didn't like Lizbeth. Addie's the best one she's had.
The other one, Odette, really.
Duh. Yeah. No, I had a huge emotional attachment to that. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why I don't.
You're not over Odette yet.
I'm not over Odette yet.
Yeah.
Apparently I forgot about her. How I pulled Lizbeth out of my out of the pockets of my brain and forgot the like storyline that made me cry the most. Good times. They'll probably stay together. They'll probably just be like, there's enough going on. We don't need to mess with Bess's love life. And Bess and Addie will probably just make it through the season, I'd imagine.
It'd be good for Bess to have stability.
Mm-hmm. Somebody in the crew has to. Yeah. And then Nancy and Ace are obviously ending up together.
Yeah. Maybe with a slight fling with Tristan.
Right. Sorry, Tristan. You just get added to the long list of men who don't stand a chance with Nancy.
Yeah.
But you also could be evil, so we'll find out.
He could be, yeah.
Lobster boy.
We'll see. All right, so next week's episode is The Maiden's Rage.
Oh. Maybe that'll be about one of the bodies and not actually just diving right into the Ace stuff.
It might be.
At least it's not called The Spider's Rage. We get it over with.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'm not ready.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you want to find us, you can find me on the Brotherhood of Batman, where my brothers and I review Batman comic books and movies. Sarah, where can they find you?
You can find me right now at the Gotham Knights Watch podcast, where my co-host and I cover the weekly episodes of Gotham Knights. And if you like Nancy Drew, I think you would actually like Gotham Knights. It's a solid, strong show with a good mystery aspect to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've kept up with it. You guys do a good job. The thing I like about it is the just like with this, it does a good job of having a core group where they all have their roles and things. And I think the dynamics of those relationships are there. So if you like the Drew crew, I think you would enjoy Gotham Knights for that.
Yeah. You can also find Ben and I on a Swift review where we cover Tom Swift, and the show is over, but you can also go check out Stargirl After Show that covers Stargirl on the CW.
Well, we are excited for season 4. We are enjoying it so far. Thank you so much for watching and listening, and we will see you next week. Keep on sleuthing.
Bye.
Picture this. You have a long commute to work and just want to listen to a good podcast, but there are too many choices. Anime, film, comic books, science. What will you do?
Well, never fear. We are here with all of your podcast needs. Welcome, all freaks and geeks. We are the Square Roundtable Podcast, a collective of Black nerds discussing all things anime, comics, science, and pop culture related. Please join us for our weekly podcast every Friday on squareroundtablepod.fandomlim.com, YouTube, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Be there and be square.